Praise God. I'm excited. Hallelujah. You might get excited going to other places. I get excited coming here. I've only been coming here since my mum and dad carried me into the Happy Church 57 years ago. So a few years I wasn't so happy in the teenage years getting taken in. The good old days, not. But I love the house of the Lord. Can we just go straight in this morning? Are you ready? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an interesting verse in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation's an interesting book, isn't it? We tend to avoid Revelation. It's too much controversy in the book of Revelation. But let's go into the book of Revelation. Let's go almost towards the end of it in chapter 21. There's a verse in there, verses in there that I think help you and I understand His glory. Say His glory. Many of us want to understand His glory a little bit more. Listen to this. I'll be lucky if I can read this. I saw no temple in the city. Glory to God. I'll say that again. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. Are you reading that? Does it not just give you a shiver up your back? Not give you tremors under your feet? The imagery that's been portrayed to us. I'm going to say it again. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. Listen to this. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God is its light. Wow. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light shall the nations walk, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. Are you ready to go a bit deeper this morning? Listen to this. I want you to notice not the first part of that. I want you to look at the very last sentence of that scripture. The kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. Let's clear this up. Because this brings understanding to the word glory. Everyone say glory.
Glory.
Oh! You see, when kings present their glory to others to acknowledge, they take the things that are treasured and rare. They take in things that are exquisite and even priceless. Why? To testify to their value or the weight of their worth. We're going deeper. It is not coincidental that the biblical word glory is translated from the Hebrew word kabod. Hallelujah. The word kabod, which also means weightiness, heaviness, or the old-fashioned word heft. That's what that means. That means, listen to this, in whichever way God chooses to manifest His glory, it is revealed through the weight of His worth. I think you missed that. My legs are almost gone from under me this morning already. God help us if we get through this. Hallelujah. It supplies testimony to His incomparable character, to the superabundance of His grace and goodness towards humanity, the splendor that He continues to display in creation. But we're going to get even more closer in this morning. We're going to become even more specific. We're going to zero in some indefinable aspects of the glory of God. So I want to lay a wee foundation, then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to kick things off. Praise God. We need days of more revelation of His glory. We need the latter rain, hallelujah, to fall on the church again, do we not? We need that fresh enthusiasm, motivation and excitement to come upon us once again. Exodus 33, 34, read those when you go home. Basically, Moses stood before God and he daringly requested to see His glory, something that would identify God's greatness. And God was undaunted by Moses' petition. He was delighted to answer it and even culled. He called out a place for Moses to witness it. It's often called the cleft of the rock. I'm going to preach in that in 4 weeks. Remember I said that. I'll not let you down. God deposited something in this morning in preparation regarding that. That's coming your way. The cleft of the rock. That is a beautiful, beautiful place to be having adventure in. But this story recorded in Exodus chapter 34, let's read it this morning. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. I want you to know something about Scripture here. God could have answered Moses in a numerous amount of ways. He could have said, Moses, listen, look up. Do you see the stars? Each and every little twinkle reflects a faint witness to my infinite creative power. But that was not God's response, no. Or the Lord could have pointed out the beauty of the sunset painted with 100 different colors. But the Lord didn't show things that way. He could have taken Moses upon the wings of angels. He could have taken Moses on the wings of angels and soared with him through the galaxy, showing Moses the planets and the worlds beyond reach of our telescopes. But he didn't do that either. There are many, many ways God could have described the weight of His worth. Let's notice how God revealed this to Moses. He chose to define His glory through self-revelation. Hallelujah. Through self-revelation. In other words, He was about to have an encounter with the Almighty God. And I would suggest if Moses had to have this defining moment in his life, every single one of us need to come to that same place. A revelation comprised of pretty much 8 statements in that chapter there regarding His character. And if you're taking notes, this is our foundational stuff today. I want to lay this down for you. I want to lay it down for you, then we'll move from there. I want you to notice, first of all, that God declared His name to Moses. Praise God. He declared His name to Moses in order to emphasize His unparalleled glory. He actually said it twice. He said, the Lord. In doing so, it's a proclamation that He is the one true living God. He is the supreme being who has no equal whatsoever. And I would say, praise God, there's no other God but Jehovah. Amen. There is no one like Jehovah. Hallelujah. Secondly, God then testified to His mercy. Same mercy. Whoa, aren't you glad we've received the mercy of God? What is mercy? Mercy is a deliberate act of God. It is not feeling sorry for another, and it's not having mere sympathy for someone. Mercy is a purposed, intentional, it is a deliberate act. So in what ways does God's intentional mercy manifest itself to you and I? Well, it manifests when he extends protection. Hallelujah. Provision, guidance, and presence towards his creatures. Consider these four passages regarding God's mercy, and you will know them well. First is found in Lamentation chapter 3. You'll love this. Because of the Lord's great love, that's the same Hebrew word as mercy, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hallelujah. The wondrous meaning of this passage tells us that God's mercy can never ever at any point be exhausted. He is infinite in this particular virtue. He said his name. He testified to his mercy. Scripture again says, Paul says in Ephesians 2, God is rich in mercy. Go back to the Old Testament. David says in 1 Chronicles that the Lord's mercy is very great. The prophet Micah says in chapter 7, God delights to show mercy. And we thank God for his mercy. Then there's a third aspect of God's self-declaration to Moses, and it's regards to the glory of his grace. Praise God. Praise God. He lets us know in verse 6 that we serve a wondrously gracious God. I'll tell you a truth. The current church needs more grace in it. I'll tell you a fact. The church of Jesus Christ needs to be topped up in this virtue regarding grace. Grace is something none of us as believers can truly live without. What is grace? It is God's free, undeserved gift of goodness. As sinners, we do nothing to deserve grace. He simply bestows it from the depth of who he is. And then next God says, thank God he is slow to anger. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he is slow to anger. Oh, there's a lot of anger in the world today, is there not? A lot of people struggle with this particular one, do we not? The littlest of thing, we just go snap, we're gone. God said slow to, in other words, aren't you glad? He is saying here, in revelation of his glory, I will be ever patient with you. Thank God he's been patient with me. He'll be ever patient with you. I'm so glad that God doesn't zap us. He doesn't zap us every time we stumble or commit a grievous sin. God is wondrously long-suffering with his people. Then the Lord made a pronouncement of his steadfast love. Hallelujah. Listen, God is not fickle. You hear this? God is not fickle, he is steadfast. He is sure and amen. He is perfect. He is unwavering, unquenchable love towards mankind. And he's made this covenant of love towards his chosen people that he promises never to withdraw from any one of us. And then next, coupled with superabounding love, God also told Moses that he was steadfast in faithfulness. Praise God. God is 100% reliable. I am not reliable. God is 100% reliable, trustworthy, just. We can depend on His unwavering care every single moment of our life. And then God told Moses, and thank God, He forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. Amen. Who's glad about that? Every single one of us. The word forgive describes how God totally, say totally. This is not in part. He totally removes the guilt and stain and even memory of our sin, praise God. Isn't it wonderful that our Lord wants to be known for this quality, that He intervened through His only begotten Son to renew us, to cleanse us, to perfect us in the sight of God. Then lastly, it's a little bit tougher. Bit tougher. Because God now cautioned Moses that His glory also deals with the judgment of sin. In verse 8 says, He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. Wow. In other words, the Creator of the universe is filled with love. Amen. With compassion, amen. With mercy, hallelujah. With grace, praise God. But He is also the just judge of all the earth. And His holiness demands the judgment of sin. And this is why He sent Jesus, hallelujah, into the world to bear the judgment of sin. Praise God that He did. So church, these 8 self-proclamations, they actually only begin to describe just a teeny little bit the glory of God. And we are going to continue learning of God's glory even after spending thousands of years in eternity. Praise the Lord. Now, hallelujah. All of this from you and I, but in this case, Moses demanded a form of a response. Look at this morning. Notice how Moses responded to God's self-revelation of His glory. Moses responds to God's revelation. The response is crucial because first of all, it evoked worship. It evoked worship in Moses in verse 34, verse 8 says, Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. Can I ask you, when was the last time we had such an encounter with the Holy God that we found ourselves on our knees in His presence worshipping? Why? Because we could no longer stand. So great was the awe, so great was the presence of God that we were driven to our knees. I want to share an image with you and digress here very quickly. Last Sunday morning, Pastor Debbie said someone in the balcony, 5 actually, came down. I want to share this with you. I've shared this with some of you. One particular gentleman was so challenged in his soul that he came downstairs, and when he got to the back, just in front of the sound room there, he said at that point, every hand in the aisle was up so much so it was like an arch way over the aisle. And he says, as I marched down the aisle, almost having to duck to get to the altar, all was left for me to do when I got here was fall on my knees, raise my hands, and worship Him. I'll tell you a truth, I won't mention His name. I know in that moment, His life was changed. And I'll tell you how I know that, because he rushed to see me first thing Monday morning. I'll tell you something else. He'd been lost for a wee while. But now he's finding his way down the archway into the place of holiness. And I pray that God this morning will give every one of us that kind of attitude to get there. To get there, not to miss your moment, not to miss your encounter. Look at this again. Moses bowed to the ground and worshiped. This is what God wants from you and I. This is what God is looking for from you and I. When we observe an aspect of God's glory, we should acknowledge it. We should worship God. We should praise God for it. Can I ask you this morning, has God been merciful to you? Then worship Him. Has God saved you? Then worship Him. Has God healed you? Then worship Him. Has God delivered you? Then worship Him. Has God answered your prayers? Then praise Him and worship Him. That's what He evokes when we see Him. And that's why we must come expecting to meet with God every time we come together. But something else happened here. Something else. I'm just breathing Him in this morning. Don't worry, I'm not having a heart attack. Just breathing Him in. It prompted a public testimony to the glory of God. You see, when God revealed Himself to Moses in this incredibly powerful way, Moses had an obligation to share this incredible testimony with others. And people are still reading his report today that he inscribed in scriptures. And church, you and I have exactly this same obligation today. As we behold his glory, we are commissioned to then reveal that to other people. It is our duty, it is to testify to the wonders of the grace of God, of His goodness, of His character, of His power. Why? Because our God is good. Our God is merciful. Our God is just. Our God is trustful. Our God is gracious. Our God is compassionate. And this is what the world that is dying needs to hear today, and that will only come through a revelation of the glory of God in our lives. So let your glory come, we pray in Jesus' name. Isaiah 66 verse 19 shows that the duty of genuine, real believers is to proclaim my glory among the nations. And from what it's worth, we are doing a pretty good job at Moss Vale regarding revealing Jesus Christ to the nations. And we thank God He's given us the privilege and opportunity to do such a thing here in this church. But this sounds similar to the Great Commission in the New Testament, which tells believers to proclaim the gospel to every creature, to every nation under heaven. But, I have to put the but, and I apologize for this. Do you know in the current climate, or the current status, or the current way of things, that the church can actually obstruct the glory of God? God forgive us. God forgive us. Let me explain it simply like this. A lunar eclipse takes place when the earth is positioned directly between the sun and the moon. The earth blocks the light and the sun casts a shadow on the moon, making the moon impossible to see with the naked eye. Thus, the moon is hidden because earth obstructs the view. Stay with me. So what does this lunar analogy teach us? Listen to this. It shows you and I that our great and wonderful God, great and wonderful God, like the sun in the sky, never ceases to shine his radiant glory and beauty. But there are times when even the church and its religion and its religiosity can obstruct the radiance of Christ from being witnessed. And it has been done today in so, so many different ways. It occurs today. It is occurring today when Christians and the church are now denying partially the virgin birth. We're obstructing the glory of God. It occurs when Christians and the church reject Christ's assertion that he now is the way, the truth and the life, and is now suggesting there are many ways to heaven. It happens when the church denies that scriptures are holy and divinely inspired. It can happen when Christians suggest there are inspired books. Listen, it's happening today. In parts of the world, churches are suggesting there are inspired books that apart from the Bible, that God inspired. Huh? People, I'm holding it up. This is the only book. This is the only book, the Word of God, the inspired scriptures that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the breath of God. This is it right here. And when the Christians or when churches impugn anything recorded in the Bible, I'll tell you what happens. It diminishes the glory of God. It diminishes the glory of God. I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit, say Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit placed, I say placed, every sentence in Scripture for a reason. Every sentence. Not coincidental stuff. Every sentence for a reason. And I want to encourage you, plead, implore, even urge you to never obstruct the radiance and the testimony that God has made through the Word of God. I want to say something else regarding this. Remember this. The Bible wasn't written to make us feel good. The Bible was written to make us live right. Did you hear that? Wasn't made to make me feel good. It was challenged me to live a holy and righteous life before God. Most importantly, it was written for the glory of God. And I've mentioned here how witnessing God's glory should evoke our worship. Public testimony of it. But there's something else God wants to come from his glory. And this concerns you and I. God wants to manifest his glory upon us and through us. Are you hearing this? Look down some verses in Exodus 34. I want you to see what happened to Moses as he had this dramatic experience with God in the cleft of the rock. In verse 39, it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant. Because he had spoken with the Lord. Scripture says when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant. They were afraid to come near to him. You see, this is what happens when we have an encounter with God. It transforms us. And changes us from the outside in. It will change your actual countenance outwardly when we spend time in the presence of God. You can tell people who've been with God. And you can tell people who have not. You can see something, that little glint in their eye. because they've just spent time with the Master. They've spent time at the banqueting table. They've had supper with Jesus. They've laid prostrate before Him and they have worshipped Him. They've given time and allowed Jesus, allowed the Word, allowed the Holy Spirit to wash them, to cleanse them, to renew them, to prepare them, to equip them for what God wants to do in and through their lives. They had an encounter with God and church. There are many people today who are attending churches who are showing up in Sunday, but they're not having those moments with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit throughout the week. So we come here and we're just getting by. The Holy Spirit is saying to some of us today, it's time to stop just getting by. It's time to press in to the fullness of God that I have for your life. It's time to stop being in the sidelines or the touch lines, because I've got more for you to do. I've got more for you to achieve. But someone is going to have to climb the mountain. Someone's going to have to get up there. Someone's going to have to hide in the cleft of the rock, but perhaps just peep out and get a wee glimpse as He passes by and catch His glory and catch His splendor and let His goodness and let His Spirit wash over your soul. And if you will do that, I will tell you a truth. You will be changed from the inside out so much that you will not be looking over your shoulder and wonder what happened yesterday. You'll be pressing on to the greater things that God has for your life. And I believe it. We must have an encounter. Is God not saying, arise, shine, for thy light has come and the glory of God is risen upon you. Well, church, that is a word in season for personalities today in this room. For so many have been sitting down and just gone through the motions, and Jesus is saying, I love you, but it's time to arise. It's time to get that gleam back in your face. It's time to get that smile, that joy back in your belly. It's time to stand up and say, Lord, here am I. Use me for your glory. Use me for your purposes. And I wonder, will there be some amongst us this morning who just become fed up, stale, and lost, and ready to come through the arch into the presence and glory of God today? Hallelujah. I want to share some scripture. Is that okay? Then we're going to just let God do His work. I want to point out an absolutely phenomenal passage that Paul wrote to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I feel quite stirred up this morning. I'm holding my legs because they're shaking. Shake away. Shake away. And I just thought, if I fall over, I'll just speak to you from the ground. This scripture contrasts the glory resting upon Moses and the glory that now rests upon believers. Listen to this. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Did you get that? There's a suggestion there that the latter rain for us will be greater than the former. Hello? Hello? Will not the ministry of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit given on the day of Pentecost, will not be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? Hallelujah. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory And if that was transitory, came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Praise God. And Paul didn't stop there with the needs for Christians bearing the glory of God. He goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, says we go from glory to glory. In other words, God's glory rests upon believers when they accept Christ and then will increase when we are glorified with Christ's likeness in heaven. But then there's an even more remarkable passage. Can you believe it? In Romans chapter 8, verse 28-29, which describes the progression of our faith in Christ Jesus, says, for those God foreknew, hallelujah, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, those he glorified. Hallelujah. And then there's a wee interesting passage in Romans chapter 2 verse 7 that tells the believers to seek God's glory. It says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there'll be wrath and anger. There'll be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Amen. Stand with me, come on. If you can stand. Just create that posture. Let me close things down today and then let him take things over. Yes, God reveals his glory. Amen. And one day, listen to this, one day every believer will be glorified and made into the likeness of Christ for eternity. Praise God. Meanwhile, let me say, I am 57. I want God's glory manifesting itself through my life today. I want that to be the heartbeat for the rest of my life. I'll tell you something. I've reached the point that I cannot be totally content without the glory and without the presence of God. I must have it. I must have it. I don't want to live an ordinary life. And I don't want to come down to an ordinary church. Hello. I want to attend a church filled with the kabod of God, his glory. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you something. Since I started preaching on this about 4 or 5 weeks ago, back in Africa, the demonic has risen up against me. I won't get into the alls of it. Only my wife knows. But the demonic and the satanic hates this. He hates this topic matter. He hates people and men and women of God talking about the glory and about the presence of God. Why? Because it stirs up the hearts of the church. It stirs up the hearts of the believers. It gets people, even Christians, who are a little bit dead and dry and stale. It winds them up again. It gets them on the path again, which means the devil has got more believers to contend with. So as the devil rises up against us, we just look at him, we rebuke him, we tell him to get behind us, and we keep pursuing the righteousness, the holiness, and the glory of God. We want to attend a church filled with the kabod and the glory. But let me tell you, if you want to be part of what God is doing here, be prepared for some resistance in your life from the enemy. But understand this, it's only resistance. All authority has been given to Jesus, hallelujah. All authority has been given to the church. And the devil, he is under our feet today. We win the victory. So do you know what this means? If we desire this, do you know what that means for this? To attract the glory of God means we must do things differently than ordinary Christianity. Oh, come on. No more imitating other churches. No, we don't do that anyway. No more imitating other Christians. Here is the word of the Lord, and I believe it is for this season, hallelujah. And the pastors and leaders, we're going to really pray into this. We, I believe God is saying, we must pull apart. We must pull apart or stay and settle for the status quo. I believe the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, is saying to us, and I know he's saying this to my leadership, whom I love dearly and they follow the Lord with all their heart. We are getting ready to pull apart because God is preparing us for something. You think this is it because our numbers have swollen and more people are coming? That's not what it's about. That's wonderful. That's lovely. We're pulling apart because we're preparing ourselves in these latter days to live in the glory of God all the days of our life. Hallelujah. That's what we're preparing for. So listen to this. The Lord Jesus. Say the Lord Jesus. Listen to this, church. He has commissioned followers to take the gospel. To take the gospel everywhere. Everywhere. And then provide a clear testimony of God's grace. He is saying right now, in these beautiful, horrible days in the world, but beautiful days for his church, I believe, we have a choice. We have an opportunity. And God is presenting a chance to us. But beware of little foxes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bring it on. Bring it this way. We can attempt, here's the word of the Lord. We can attempt to reach the world through natural means. Yes, we can. Or we can seek to present Jesus to the world through the presence, through the power and the glory of the Holy Spirit. We know what we are doing. Amen. We prefer the latter. Hallelujah. So when there is a manifestation of God's divine presence, it will always produce a testimony for Christ beyond anything that we can fabricate, that we can hype, that we can build up into or whip up into a frenzy. And I believe what the glory is doing with us is creating the absolute authenticity of Jesus in this place. So there's no fabrication. There's nothing hidden. He brings it all and exposes it all and brings it all into the light for his glory. So dearly beloved, there's no real strategy for what happens now except for this. We're going to worship God because this demands we worship God. But if you've got a vision or an image of that arch, or you feel you need someone to stand beside you and just quickly lay hands on you and pray for a transfer of God's love and goodness and power. Or maybe you have become a little, I know, I felt the moment I walked up here, there are several people going through the motions, a little bit stuck. And you need an encounter with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit today. Well, that's exactly why we came down here today. We're not going up Mount Sinai. We're just at this God-filled, God-prepared altar at Mosville Community Church where the river of God continues to flow. And if you feel you just need to step in, this is the altar, the place of sacrifice, the place of change. The Spirit just said, if they call it the meeting place this morning, it's the meeting place where you meet with Him. Don't get me wrong. You can meet God all over this building this morning. You can be aware of His presence all over this building this morning. I'm sure many are. But if you're needing a little bit more than that, and as we worship, you come. You come. You might even not be sure why. But you know you have to step out. And I want to encourage you. I just rebuke the spirit of pride that's come upon one or two right now in Jesus' name. Lift it off them. Lift it off them in the name of Jesus. Release them to come in Jesus' name. So I'm done. Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name. We're going to worship. If you need to respond, you come. God bless you.